Hey, Jenny Jam here. Got a video? Tag us at Fret Sisters. Or you can email us at fretsistersmusic@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook and Instagram at Fret Sisters. So don't forget to hit that follow button so you can catch up on all the latest topics, tea, and interviews. Peace.
Hello all, this is Nicole Rose, one of the founders of the Fret Sisters, and I am here to remind you that we have merch. You can go to our website and get anything from socks, shoes, jackets, notepads, phone cases. You can even get wine tumblers, anything that you can imagine, and even some things you can't. We have it on our website at www.fretsisters.com. Go and explore and get something for yourself and any other music lover in your life. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
We are now in season 8 of Between Frets. From all of us here from Fret Sisters, we like to thank you for listening and watching our videos and supporting us since day one.
Hello, hello, hello. I thought I'd start really happy. Welcome to Between Frets, a space where female musicians meet and discuss all things music. And another episode of Fret Tea Talk, very popular in our Between Frets podcast. People love our Fret Tea Talks, and so we're doing another one. And I have the beautiful, beautiful co-founders here with me. I have Nicole Rose. I have Autumn Karen Strings Rose. Sorry. You want me to add that?
I'm going to change that to just Autumn Strings because Nicole Rose is here already. And
okay.
Drop Karen because Karen, it's got a bad hit in the last couple of years.
Autumn Strings. We'll say Autumn Strings. Yay. And Shorn Marshall. And I am Jenny Jam. And today we are going to talk about copyrights and knowing your rights in your own music. So let's get with it. So we're going to talk about copyright first, your rights and the cost and how important it is. So let's go.
I'm here to learn from you guys. So I'm just going to mute and listen.
The only way to copyright is there's a bunch of other services that you can deem to copyright your music or any original work within. Is definitely the Library of Congress. There's one for single copyright, and there's other one that's a group of items that you can group up to 10, I believe, to copyright your original work in. And now I just found out like the price went up. It used to be for one single copyright, it used to be $35. But it's actually increased it to $65. And that's like the same price of grouping up to 10 multiple things into one application to register. After you pick which one that you plan on copywriting, then they take you to different answers, some questions like was this track sample, use a type of sample, is there more than one owners of the track, if it's more than one, make sure they have their information, because you will get that when you talk about split sheets, when you're doing collaborations with other musicians, other artists doing that particular song, make sure you fill out a split sheet before anything's being released to put anything processing paperwork when it comes to performance rights with BMI, ASCAP, and all the other stuff, and copyright, so they can get a copy of the registration certificate, proof that the song is copywritten. So make sure they have that address in there. also, they will also say who does what. It is like a music or is it lyrics or both. That had like a little drop box on there. And after you get all the information, then it goes to the next part, is to make sure to review, make sure everything is accurate, correct. They do a review part, and then they put it into the cart, which you have to pay. And after you pay, then you upload the song, actually. You can do a song, or if you have lyrics that you have, you can just copy and paste it up there. And that's really like the last step of that. So it's really not that bad. There's other services that can do the heavy lifting for you. But in my personal opinion, I will leave the middleman and do it yourself. Because different services like Cosign and stuff like that, they will do it for you, but you also gotta pay the fees to for the, you know, the Library of Congress and then whatever service they charge you for. So nobody got time for that.
A quick question on the copyright is, what is the advantage of a copyright? Just so that our listeners know, because a lot of misinformation about copyright, like I don't need to copyright my music, blah, blah, blah. But why should you copyright your music?
Well, once you copyright your music, everything that is from your original work is highly protected. Once you have that certificate proving registration, proving that the song that is copyrighted, in case something happens and a copyright infringement issues, you show them the proof that it is, then you will get rewarded maybe like up to $150,000 for copyright infringement. So it's kind of, it's like an insurance policy. So if any case that someone tried to steal your original work and you have proof that, okay, this is my original work and this person's stealing it, oh, they have to pay you like up to $150,000 on how many times they've been sampling your stuff.
We always hear about that really high profile artist doing that to a lot of like indie artists, unknowns, you know, just coming out, you know, stealing from that. But let's move on real quick. If Autumn, if you have anything to put in for copyright, we can just move on to BMI and ASCAP.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go through the steps. Yes, copyright.gov, it protects you, just like Sean said. It protects you and for your performing rights and the rights of your music. If you don't do that and some other artist takes your music and they make millions off of it, go all the way to, say, Grammys or what have you, and they make millions off of that, you're stuck, and then you're going to have to speak to them and say, hey, you use like 8 bars of my music. Too bad. It's not yours anymore. So copyright is vital. And it's no more the old school of, okay, I'm just going to mail a copy, you know, mail, write it out and then put it in the mailbox and mail it back to myself. No more. You really have to go through the proper channels to the government, at copyright.gov, to get that done. And just to go on from there, I would tell people, and like you mentioned, you know, the publishing, or the, I should call it the PROs, or performing rights organization, like ASCAP, BMI. Again, I'm going to mention CSAC, but that's, you have to be invited to that one. But BMI is probably is number one right now in the United States. And that's how you get your pay, your residuals. Then you have distribution. So I'm just going to use DistroKid, because that one is affordable and it's a little more lucrative. If you get the standard for $20 or the Musician Plus for $35.99, that's better. So that's the publishing, so that you can get your residuals and your money. And so that, you know, things are changing, like we were discussing with Sean was talking about. You really got to protect yourself. And we see that with artists that are really up there, like the A-list artists. So you can imagine if you're just an independent artist and you have to hire an attorney, or, you know, an entertainment lawyer. So yeah, it's best to protect yourself.
Yeah, the BMI and ASCAP is something that a lot of indie artists or people just putting out their music and streaming don't do. And I think that's really important that you have your, you're on either, if you're on BMI or ASCAP, that you have that as a writer and you have a publishing also. So can you tell me again, just like the question I said with copyright, why should writers or songwriters, people that put out the music, why should they put?
Well, it,
why should they sign up to BMI and ASCAP, of course, thinking, okay, oh, my music's never going to play, but it might.
Since y'all are well-versed in this, all three of you all, say I have an original song and I want to put it on Instagram, say about a minute, and someone wants it, can someone still take that, or is that my copyright? Does it work like that? No? They can steal it, and even though I have the video out, how does that work?
But if you have it copywritten, it's yours, but you want to get residual, you want to get paid for it. So you may own it, but now you have to go after some other artists that use, say, 8 bars of your sample, your music. So you want to get paid for that, either quarterly through BMI or ASCAP. You want to get paid for that. For instance, if I go by a department store and I go, wow, I hear this music. Who's that? And I can put my iPhone up, or say I have Siri or Shazam, and you say, what is that music? Wow, I want to buy that. Well, you have to have, to get your residuals, for somebody to take your music, you need to get paid for it. You want to get paid for it. If not, yeah, it's yours, but then you have to go after them. Now you got to get a lawyer, you know. So by having BMI or ASCAP, they protect you. You know, it gets more protection than anything, and getting that check in the mail.
Mm-hmm. The question, in answer to a question for LaCole about just putting up on Instagram and then somebody taking that and saying, well, I have a timestamp or a year stamp here that said that I wrote this song. Getting back to what Shorn said about the copyright, that kind of shit's not going to work. You have to have that copyright, because legally, that's a legal document, and you can use that more than saying I have a timestamp or I have a poor man's copyright. I think that's what they called it before, where you mail yourself, you know, and have a, you know, the post office stamp on it. That does not hold up in court. And then if you're fighting a high profile A-lister, they have the money and the lawyers to fight you, and you don't. But if you have that piece of paper or that document that says I own this copyright and this is when I put it in, then you have more power to be able to, you know, settle out of court and get paid. Again, don't think that just because you did a YouTube video of something and you didn't, and you like, oh yeah, you know, I wrote this, you know, this time, and I have the timestamp on here, that's not gonna protect you. So what we're saying, we're talking about copyright your music, get on one of these, what is BMI? What organization is that? I don't want to keep saying BNI. What are they called?
Performing Rights Organization.
Yeah, yeah. Getting on those organizations, sign up to either one. And then, yes, the distribution. That's when, if you go to CD Baby or DistroKid or whoever, you know, is out there that can distribute your stuff, that's when you'll get your paycheck through either them or those organizations.
They're like the watchdog. They're going to make sure when your music is on Pandora or iTunes, Apple Music, Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, they know that your music is being played, so then you get paid. So you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to do all this footwork yourself. That's what they're there for. DistroKid, that's what they'll do that. They'll distribute it, but you'll be protected. And I think DistroKid is very popular. It's affordable, and they have, you know, different tiers. CD Baby, TuneCore, they're good too, but I think they have more restrictions. But everybody has to do their own homework and whatever's best for them for that.
The only thing that I prefer is, before you post any of your music or anything on social media or YouTube or whatsoever, make sure, yeah, copyright those and copyright just music, and put them in your performance rights organization first. Then, once you get all that situated behind the scenes, then if you're planning on releasing the songs that you copywritten, then do that. and as a new digital marketing associate that I've just been certified is, that is more important. Make sure your paperwork is settled before you release anything. Because when you do that, once the song is released, and since TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, every time your music is like used on your reels and stories, all that is also distribution. We'll keep an eye on that too, because they will collect that. That's kind of like, you know, you get royalties from that, from TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, any social media that is using your music in their reels. And the more they put your song, more people take using that song, the more paper you will receive.
And that's really good that you brought that up, because that takes us to the next topic of like residuals and publishing, music syncing. I know that, like you said, Shorn, a lot of people can be really lazy and not want to do all that paperwork, but it's an advantage to you. Once that music is up on your streaming platforms, yes, you can go on Instagram, and the way that you can market yourself would be putting up those reels and putting your own music in there and getting that money, you know, generated for you. So other ways, I know, Autumn brought a couple things up about international residuals and publishing, getting your stuff. How do you make money? Like, you're an indie artist, you know, the streaming numbers, there's changes in streaming, who gets paid, how much you get paid. Spotify is doing something crazy right now, which I don't know if it's set in stone, but how they're not going to pay unless you make 1,000 plus streams or something like that. I'm not sure if that's legit. It's just talk on social media right now. But I wanted to bring up the ideas of how indie artists can make that money. Autumn, I know you had some things on that.
Well, I'm going to say this too. If an indie artist, after you registered with copyright, and you have BMI and you have your distribution with DistroKid, and for international registration, Song Trust or Sound Exchange, I think artists, you have to have your own website where you can have links, get emails, sell your merchandise, blogs, so people can buy your merch, like what we have on Brett Sisters, our blogs, whatever. That way you have more eyes, and even set up where people even pay for, just like people on podcasters, they get paid, they're monetized, because they have these sites and they get paid for it. So that's where indie artists has to get their own website, so they can like get paid with that too, after all the legal stuff is done.
I saw something on like X, which used to be Twitter. I hate that name. I saw somebody post when it came to this streaming controversy that Spotify's doing, where they're saying, as an artist or, you know, a songwriter or whatever, don't depend on streaming to make your money. You have to think of other ways to make your money. So going on to Sound Exchange or getting your stuff, you know, out internationally or something like that, to make that revenue, instead of thinking that, you know, oh, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal is going to make me the streaming, whatever. I have to concentrate on streaming, you know, screw that. Vinyl is now becoming, you know, another, it's coming back, and people are actually buying it, you know, though I'm not sure about the distribution. We can get to that later because I'm kind of going through it. But yeah, I mean, ways of making money. Shorn, I know you're probably an international artist. Your music's been out there. You've gotten a lot of, you actually got an award or something, right?
Yeah, I actually had two awards from two of my recent singles. Work It was made over 100,000 streams for that one. And the other one, Self-Destruct, is now over 60,000. And I mostly promote it. Even before I get teasers, I do behind the scenes. After I release the music, I sometimes do, like, you know, maybe acoustic performance or play through a performance of the song, or I just keep telling everybody, please, like, check out the song, like, check out the songs, check out the songs. I even put them all in mostly some of my original, my reels, that kind of help push that out. There's also, like, podcasts, of course. There's a lot of people, I do as much press as possible can just to push my music out. And there's also companies that can help campaign your music, like different playlist curators. And I usually contact with Dome just to have them in their playlist. They have a lot of following. Even with Spotify, Apple Music, before the music get released, I pitch it to them first. Once I do the distributions, and when they have it in, you know, your Spotify for Artists or Apple Music for Artists, Amazon for Artists, and they have this section, their playlist that you can pitch to for editorial playlists. And if they like it, and once the song is released, they add you into one editorial playlist, which has a lot of following as well, that, okay, more people is going to hear your music.
I have a question for Shawn and Jenny. Since you, Shawn, you mostly do digital content, correct? And Jenny, you just dropped your album, and yours is digital and vinyl and CDs, I believe. So what are the pros and cons of both for just distribution? Is it just better to focus on one or the other if you're an indie artist? Or is it just prep?
You mean focus on digital or vinyl?
As far as distribution, because Shawn's mostly digital. And for your album, you're doing digital and vinyl and things of that nature. So for an indie artist, as far as distribution and being new to it, is one easier or preferable for the other, one over the other?
I know, since for me with doing the both, I know that streaming's a lot easier, of course, because you have those services like CD Baby and DistroKid to do the distribution. As far as vinyl, I'm new to it now, because, like, my producer is helping me with that, and he's old school, like back in the hip hop days. You know, back then it was easy to distribute vinyl because it was so popular back then, and it was basically like, you're out there hustling, going to record shops. So we're going to be doing that. But the distribution side, as far as getting it out there online, is something that I'm learning right now. I feel pretty confident that I can get it out there, because it's pitching and promoting, keeping it going, I think, to let people know, yeah, I got vinyl. Yeah, I got this. Because some people still kind of want that. I know that when I did my single, like, a few years back, and I just did digital, people wanted it on a CD, and I'm like, I don't do CDs. But there were some people that wanted the tangible thing. But it's kind of hard, though. I feel like eventually there's going to be services that you're going to be able to distribute your vinyl.
The only way to get with, you know, the physical copies and stuff like that, yeah, put it in your website, and if anybody ordered from that, you can ship it from whatever you are at. There's different companies and warehouses that you can do, they can ship it for you. There's sell them at your shows, and book your shows, please. Book your shows. That way you will have a merch table, and you will make more money besides door people that paid the door and the cut from the bar and everything like that. So book your shows, because once you get paid doing your shows, your merch, you got extra money right there, selling your merch, like t-shirts and all your, even physical copies of your album, and even autograph them while you doing that. And that will be like a good way to sell your physical copies that way. Digital, since everybody has their phones, everybody use their phones for their music. Cars are Bluetooth now. You don't really need to connect anything anymore because everything is wireless.
Using QR codes. It's like, somebody wants to buy your stuff. Here's a QR. Here it is on your phone. You could buy it right now. I know, real quickly, but we won't touch on the subject, but the pitching to, like, the digital outlets, That's that I found new because I didn't know about that back then when I had that one single. But the pitching to like the Spotify for Artists, the Apple Music, the Amazon, that I would love to do a separate podcast, Shorn, on how, I mean, I don't know if you want to give that information out, but how do you pitch to them? You know, as far as like, what do you write? Because you have to write like a little thing to these people that are going to listen to your music in order. And they say that's important for them to even want to listen to it, is that little paragraph that you write. That's, I mean, that was just my experience for it. But I think that would help a lot of people to try to get on, you know, how do you get on those playlists? How do you get somebody to, you know, how do you put that banner, you know, the banner, every time you get on Spotify, you see that banner and they highlight like a specific release. How do you get on that? I mean, that's mostly really for the top tier artists, but.
Well, the reason why they have those banners, they pay for those ads.
And you know what, how do you get on Sirius XM? Because I know that there was somebody that did that, knew a lot of artists here, a lot of indie artists here in the area that was on Heart and Soul on Sirius XM, and they would take their music and play it on Sirius XM. I know Alt Nation, for some reason, sometimes they get like underground artists, they find them. I don't know how they found, but you could pitch to Sirius XM. How do you do all that? That would be a really good topic.
I believe it's Song Trust. For instance, like I mentioned earlier, if Sirius FM that you mentioned, or Pandora, I believe that getting something extra, like say, I believe it's Song Trust. I have to go back over that. That they get your, make sure you get your residuals for music that's played in, say, Starbucks, or, you know, just or like, say you have Sirius, like you said, Sirius FM, something that you have the program, but you don't have to select the song, it's just played, and you're in like a rotation. I believe that is another way you get paid that way too. The streaming is so that you can be seen and become popular with either TikTok or Instagram. You have to become popular. And unfortunately, some artists aren't really that great, but they are popular. So they, you know, I'm not bashing anyone directly, but there are a few artists I go, how are they so big? Because they're popular. When I was growing up, you had to be talented. I mean, multi-talented, big time talented in singing, dancing, a multi-instrumentalist, you know, great, great performances, touring even. Touring is where you make the bulk of your money. But I think you have to be, you know, people are becoming popular through TikTok dances. And I'm like, wait a minute. Someone takes your song, they do a TikTok, and then you blow up from that.
Yeah, that's actually another way of generating. I know LaCole Rose had some ideas when I was releasing my stuff to do some challenges on TikTok, which is a very good idea because that can generate stuff. Also, I want to mention SoundCloud because I know there's some, I guess, newbies that don't think about SoundCloud, but SoundCloud actually is still, you know, a platform to, you know, get your music out there. And it used to be where a lot of indie artists were discovered on SoundCloud, but SoundCloud does have a nice platform to share music, you know, similar to the other streaming platforms. And I think that their pay scale is a little better from what I hear. And I think, yeah, this is a great topic. I hope we do more of this stuff because I think a lot of our listeners kind of embrace, you know, the knowledge podcasts or episodes that we do and stuff. So, yeah. Any last words? Get your music copyrighted. Protect your music. Don't be lazy.
You hope that someone will take your song and do a TikTok dance. Say, for instance, Olivia Rodrigo, driver's license that came out for maybe a year or two, and she just blew up. And another artist, I remember watching Halsey, And her record label said, hey, you have to be popular on TikTok before we push your music out. And I'm saying that because I heard her say that. And Doja Cat, she was on SoundCloud. And then now her latest song, Paper Town Red, let's say. And people are doing TikTok dances all over on her song. And now it was like in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Because of the dance. That's another outlet. People listen to your music is through dancing. That's the big craze right now, is the TikTok dancing to a song.
That concludes another episode of Between Frets, Fret Tea Talk. So we'll have to do some spicy ones next. Have the wine and the beer next time.
Wine, oh, yeah. Or you're trying to make my show now? We can make another edition of a happy hour or something?
Because
I can put games on y'all. For real.
Let's go.
Definitely. All right, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful music life. And don't forget to check out. We'll put the links to everything that we talked about. And just get protected, man. Make some money. Make your money.
Do your researching. Get a lawyer.
Yep. All right. Bye.
Bye.